Thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
24 years ago, I met Pastor George at a conference, and it's the beginning of a relationship that's been amazing. And how many of you have been here since the mid-80s? Okay, wow, that's a lot of you guys. And so YWAM came and we moved into the youth home. And by the way, these pieces of paper, if you want to write something down, I got a toy here that I'm going to use to project up on the screen here in a minute. But it's been an amazing relationship and we are so grateful for it. I love Pastor George's testimony. I head out tomorrow to Huntington Beach with my wife to meet with some pastors. We have 240 YWAMers coming from all over the nation to Huntington Beach. It's one generation ago that the Jesus Movement started right there. And we have a tent that we are renting right across from the beach for 7 nights. And Pastor George is going to fly out and he's going to give his testimony one of the nights. You know, he was baptized right there in Pirates Cove after he got saved here in Faith Bible Chapel. And then he went out there, got baptized. So he's going to come out for a few of those days and maybe give a report on what takes place. We're really believing that hundreds, maybe thousands are going to come to the Lord. Okay, well, the message I have for you tonight, let's see how this works. How's that? That's hello in Australian. Okay. So if you're writing, then the title of the message is called Facing the Giants. And you probably think you've heard that before, and I stole it from a movie. I want to talk about the children of Israel going to the promised land. And so the backdrop, I'm sure you know the story, but let me kind of share it again. The backdrop for the message is this. The children of Israel had been wandering through the wilderness for 40 years. God had delivered them from 430 years of slavery in Egypt. During that time in the desert, God provided manna from heaven and water out of the rock. And the Bible says their clothes never wore out. And they didn't get any blisters on their feet. Can you imagine that? You know, you go to the beach and you get blisters just running to the water sometimes. And 40 years, never got any blisters on their feet. God protected them. And then here they are, poised to go into the land that God had promised to Abraham hundreds of years earlier. And this is what God said, Genesis 17:8. God said, and I will give you, there you go, isn't that awesome? Give you and your descendants all the land of Canaan as an everlasting covenant. And this is the report that came back, Deuteronomy 8, 7 and 9. They said, it is a land of brooks of water and fountains and springs that flow out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity and in which you will lack nothing. But there was a problem, and that was that there were some people already living in the land, and some of them were really big people, and they were involved in all types of idolatry and immoral practices. And God gave these instructions to his people. He said, don't be afraid of them. Don't intermingle with them. Don't worship their gods. But drive them out. Dispossess them because this is your land now that I'm giving to you. And then he added this caveat. He said, but if you don't do that, you're going to have some problems down the road. So just obey me so I can bless you. Which is always God's heart for us, okay? So that's the backdrop. Lord, I pray that you would use this message to speak to us tonight. We thank you for your word. It's not just a book. It's alive through the power of your Holy Spirit. You didn't just give us a book, but you gave us your Holy Spirit to bring it to life. And we pray that you do that tonight for Jesus' sake. Amen. Okay, 5 years ago, the Lord began to speak to my wife and me in our prayer times that we were about to see some amazing breakthroughs. Things that we'd been praying for, that God was going to answer some of these prayers and fulfill prophecies that had been spoken over our lives. And we felt like the Lord saying, prepare yourself for growth because you're going into something that is unimaginable and exciting. So get ready. So as you can imagine, we were excited about this word, which we sensed was from the Lord for us. And then all hell broke loose. You probably remember the shootings. We had a young man come into our YWAM facility, pull out a 9mm pistol, shoot four of our staff, killing two of them that night. About a month later, I got a call from his parents, who are wonderful Christians, asking if they could come and see where their son committed these murders. And we said, of course. They came, they were weeping. But they just needed closure. And then we went back to our house in our living room. Pastor George and Cheryl joined us and another YWAM leader, and we were praying with them. And our phone rang, and we ignored it. And then my wife's cell phone rang, so we thought, well, someone's trying to get a hold of us. And she answered the phone, and it was from an accident scene where our daughter, Rachel, had been thrown from a horse. She had been leading an outreach in Central California from our school of worship, and it was their day off, and she got thrown from this horse and had 24 fractures through her skull and inner ear and jaw. I had nothing left. It was just, I had to totally rely on the Lord. We flew out there immediately. The side of her face collapsed because it was what's called the Bell's phenomena, different than a Bell's palsy, which is a virus, but this was from the accident. But then miraculously, everything came back except for one thing, which was her sense of smell. But everything came back. But it was such a difficult time. In the following months after the shootings and this event, we had a lot of our staff that got guidance to move on. They just felt like it was time for them to leave. And it seemed like one after another would come into my office and say, I feel that I'm to move on from YWAM Denver. And so I went to the Lord thinking, okay, God, give me a strategy here. And I felt the Lord say, I want you to release everyone from their commitments. Whose side are you on? So I did, and we lost some other quality people, one quality leader in particular who moved on. And then when I thought it couldn't get any worse, we found out we were being sued for $1 million by a gentleman who'd purchased some property from us. And he contended that we had hidden structural damages with drywall, which we didn't do. And so we had to defend ourselves. How do you deal with that? $1 million. I mean, huge issues that we were facing. God, what is going on? Well, I found that, and by the way, there's a good ending I'll tell you in a minute for each of these stories. Because God's faithful, right? He's with us always. But I found whenever I'm doing something significant for God, and especially when I'm taking back things that belong to the enemy, there's warfare over it. When you're taking the things that God actually has assigned as your inheritance, there's warfare. God doesn't say, here's your inheritance, take it. He says, here's your inheritance, fight for it. And I want to talk to you about that battle, okay? And so I'm going to give you six principles tonight related to the battle. You want to see what this thing can do? This is kind of a neat toy here. Okay, so principles. See that? Principles related to the battle. Okay, here they are. Principle number one, because maybe some of you are facing some of these giants in your life. And I just felt led of the Lord to share this message with you. And so principle number one, let me get a different color than that. What's a good color here? No, I'm leaving the scriptures for red, okay? Because Jesus always would write in red. So for some reason, how about purple? I'll do purple. Okay, here we go. Okay, see if the purple shows up. Okay, there you go. Is that good? God will always be with you. He's not going to keep you from the battle, but he's going to be with you every step of the way. David's testimony was not, the Lord kept me from my enemies, but rather, you set a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And God has promised that he is always going to be with you. So Deuteronomy 31:6. Okay, now we can use the red. Okay, Deuteronomy 31 verse 6. Be strong and of good courage. Don't be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Isn't that awesome? So when you're facing giants, and maybe you're facing a giant right now, God wants to say, I'm with you. I'm never going to leave you or forsake you. Principle number two related to the battle. This battle has already been won in the heavenlies. It might not seem like it because God requires your participation and my participation, but the battle has already been won in heavenly places. Joshua 6:2. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given, past tense, Jericho into your hand. As far as God was concerned, it was a done deal. But they still had to go through the motions. Normally, you shout after the victory, right? When you score the goal or your team gets a touchdown. It even happens to the Broncos occasionally. We'll see this year. But you shout after the victory, but God had them shout before the victory. It was a statement of faith. Because in the heavenlies, the battle had already been won. Oh yeah, God, you're faithful. Number three, principle. Okay, I'm going to erase all of this. Erase all ink. There you go. Three. Even though the battle has already been won, God still requires your involvement. The night before they began to march around Jericho, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joshua. And Joshua stood up and he drew his sword. And he said this, Joshua 5:13-14. Whose side are you on? And the angel of the Lord said, neither. Wait a minute. Neither? Surely this is a typo, right? How could the Lord, the angel of the Lord, not be on Joshua's side? I think God was saying, this is your battle to win, Joshua. You have to do what God tells you to do, and you're going to have victory. But I'm not here to win it for you. You have to do it. And this is one of the principles related to the battle, is we have to actually make choices and do certain things that trigger that victory. And the Lord's on our side, but we have to walk through that or around that, which was their case. Number four, principle related to the battle. It'd be nice if God just gave a formula that worked. He doesn't do that. You can't use the same old strategy that worked last time. Or let's say it this way, just because it worked last time. I have to stop talking. I can't write and talk at the same time. Women can multitask. Men, not so much. In normal life, there are principles, right? And things that work a certain way. But when it comes to following the Lord for your inheritance, you have to listen to His voice, because there's a specific strategy He has for you. For that moment, for each nation that they conquered in the promised land, there was a different strategy. The marching around the walls was not a formula for every city. It was just the first one. Another time God said, ambush them. Another time there was a different strategy. One time they messed up because they made a treaty with this nation. Do you remember that? But it was a trick. And they fell into it. You know why they fell into it? Joshua 9:14 says, but they didn't seek the counsel of the Lord. Wow, that's a heavy deal. You can't just do the same thing that was anointed a year ago. You've got to be listening to God's voice. God, what are you saying right now? And then you obey Him. Number five, principle related to the battle. You've got to seek God. And so if you're facing this giant right now, you've got to seek God. Ask Him what to do. And then do exactly what He says. Now, it's not hard to obey God when it's cool, right? But what if God tells you to do something strange? I mean, He wouldn't do that, would He? Or what if nothing happens? I mean, the truth is, God's strategy for the children of Israel marching around Jericho, for example, was unconventional, to say the least, right? I mean, this was the strategy. Joshua 6, 3 and 4. I'm going to throw that up there. Joshua chapter 6, verse 3 and 4. So, this was God's master strategy. You shall march around the city, all the men of war. You shall go around the city once. This you shall do for 6 days. And the seven priests shall bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But on the seventh day, you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. Was all that really necessary? I mean, couldn't God just have had them run up to the wall and yell 1 time, come down? He could have. But sometimes God has you do certain things because He wants to test you to see if you're willing to obey Him. And the temptation is to wait till everything makes sense. Do you find this? I don't know if you're tempted to do this, but that eliminates faith. And faith means that you don't have it all figured out, but you listen to His voice and obey Him, even if it seems stupid. I'm sure the guys in Jericho were laughing at Him, yelling at Him as they were doing all these things. Because this is the walk of faith. It looks like this, okay? Or the walk of faith, if you're American. The walk of faith, if you're Australian. Okay, the walk of faith. There are three parts to the walk of faith, okay? These are the three parts. Number one, God speaks. And there's a sequence that's very important to faith. Then, number two, I obey. And then, number three, God brings the understanding. Maybe. Well, usually he does, but sometimes it's much later. And the temptation is to say, okay, God, look, if it's okay with you, would you just reverse these last two? Okay? Would you just speak and then explain it carefully and then I'll obey? But if you reverse the last two, you eliminate faith. The walk of faith requires that you and I have to obey God. And sometimes it's stepping out on the water and you're going, this is crazy. God, why are you telling me to do this? Why are you saying go here? Why are you telling me to speak to this person or do this crazy thing? Okay, so let me tell you the rest of the story of these two things that took place, or several things that took place. So we find out we're being sued for $1 million. And it's unrighteous. And so fast forward about 4 months, Gary Muschietti, who's our attorney, calls and says, you know, you've already spent $85,000 mounting your defense, and it's going to cost a lot more. And if you lose, you could lose because even though it was a civil trial, it was a trial by jury. And then this person has access to all of YWAM's properties and everything. I would suggest that you pray about offering a settlement to him. That's not an admission of guilt. Just pray about it. So, okay, thanks, Gary. We went back to our YWAM community. We had everyone lay hands on the elders, and the elders went over to another room to seek the Lord. So the first thing we asked the Lord, should we offer a settlement? Unanimously, everyone felt yes. That was the easy part. The second question was, how much? How much should we offer him, Lord? Now, what do you think the chances are that all 11 of us are going to get the same amount? Well, that didn't happen. But actually, something even more remarkable happened. Let me tell you what happened. It's unbelievable. Every time I think of it, it blows my mind. This is what happened. So we wait on the Lord. There are 11 of us. Melinda Maddox knew that we were praying. And she called my wife and said, Linda, I feel that you guys are to offer $92,000. Thanks a lot, Melinda. That's kind of high. Okay. So we wrote that on the board, $92,000. Then we went around the room. How much did you get? $58,000, $71,000. All different amounts, except two people got the same. Everyone else, different amounts. And then one guy got a scripture. Numbers 2, verse 4. He was the only one who got a verse. And it says, and his army was numbered at 74,600. Carrie Snodgrass, who's one of our accountants. So I said, okay, put this amount on the board, 74,600. So they were all in the thousands, from 92,000 down to like 52,000, and then this 74,600. And then everybody... So we got 12 numbers up there, and then everybody's looking at me because I'm the leader, like I always know what to do, which is not the case. I do fake it occasionally. So they're looking at me. I said, what are you looking at me for? I don't know what to do. They're all different amounts. And then several people said, let's average them. So John Murphy had a calculator. He's one of our leaders. He added them all together, divided them by 12. You know what it came to? 74,600. I said, yeah, go ahead. Woo! I love when God speaks. I found that God speaks the clearest in the most difficult times. I said, John, add it again, because I knew that John had done drugs before he became a Christian. So just want to make sure. So sure enough, it was 746333. So that's what we offered the guy. 2 weeks later, he accepted that offer. Wow, amazing. And my daughter, I told you, everything was put back in place except her sense of smell. That lasted about 2 years, and then we were having over what we call a Holy Spirit party. They were doing all types of wild things and worship and praying for people. And then two of the guys in the DTS said, let's pray for Rachel. They prayed for her. She burst into tears. She said, I think I can smell. And Andrew ran over, grabbed an orange and squeezed it. And sure enough, her sense of smell returned. Wow. God is awesome, isn't he? Oh, yeah. He doesn't deliver us from the battle, but he's with us every step of the way. Okay, last principle. God might be, he just might be allowing the battle. To make you strong. Because it's actually in the battle that you develop those muscles, that you become a warrior. That's what he did with the children of Israel. Judges chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. It says, and these are the nations which the Lord left that he might test Israel by them. That word test is significant. This was their basic training. That is, all who had not known any of the wars in Canaan, that is only so that the generations of the children of Israel might be taught to know war, at least those who had not formerly known it. So the Bible says that God left several enemy nations in the promised land to make them into warriors and to put them through basic training, which he called testing. I hate testing. How many really like when God tests you, okay? Oh, I don't like it when God tests me. But it's because he loves me. What son is there that his father doesn't discipline? If you don't encounter discipline, then you're an illegitimate son or daughter, the Bible says. God, when God's on your case, that's a good thing. That's one of the proofs that you belong to him. John 15 says he prunes the trees that belong to him. Okay, so there are four things you can do with a test. First thing, you come up to this test, and this is what a test looks like, okay? It's this big black thing called a test. And you come up to this test and you go, no, I don't want to go through a test again, Lord. And so you make sure no one's looking and you go around it. Okay. That is one option. Okay. However, someone is watching. And when you do that, God just transports it. And you go through it a little bit later on. And sometimes when God transports a test, it gets bigger. So just go through it. Okay. Second thing you can do with a test, you come up to this test and you say, oh, no, not another stupid test. And then you turn around and you go back. Okay. That's what the children of Israel were thinking about. But if you're going to do this, you have to come up with some kind of cool rationalization. Okay. And usually the easiest thing is blaming your leader, okay? So just blame someone on the pastoral staff. That always works. The children of Israel, they blame Moses, you know. Stupid Moses brought us out here in the desert to kill us. We're going to go back to Egypt. Had they forgotten what 430 years of slavery was like in Egypt? Okay, but that's one option. The second option is you can turn around and say, forget this, I'm leaving. Third option, when you face a test, you come up to the test, and you don't want to go through it because it just is such a huge thing here, but you feel guilty about not going through it. And so you develop a little test of your own making, and then you go through that instead. Okay? Like, okay, Lord, I'll fast next Tuesday. Okay? Like the Lord's going to say, oh, well, if you're going to fast, fine. The problem is that God doesn't delight in sacrifice, but in what? In obedience. He delights in obedience. He just wants us to obey him, regardless of what he says, regardless of the cost, just obey him. Simple, total, joyful obedience to the next thing he tells you to do. It's easier to say it than do it. Okay, last thing you can do with a test, you come up and you go, oh no, not a test. But you run toward it and you go, ah! And when you get to that place right there, you change into the Incredible Hulk, okay? And you smash through this thing. That's why it's green, okay? And this begins to crack and crumble and it's falling apart and there are pieces flying everywhere. And you know what? This guy that came out the other side, okay, is not the same one who went in. Praise God. I want to encourage you tonight to trust him, to take this giant that's in front of you and go, okay, God, what are you saying? He's got something to say to you. You've got to put all the other distractions aside. You may have to wait on him. You may have to take some time to wait for several days. Get away, get out of town or something, and just wait on the Lord. But he will speak to you. There are so many ways that he speaks. And then he just wants you to obey him. But whatever you do, don't go back. Don't turn around and go back. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't turn and go back to Egypt.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.